Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Now on Podcast One, we present Murder in the Family.
True crime is stranger than fiction.
Hosted by Geraldo Rivera.
This talented actor, the years that follow these horrific crimes.
Dynamic family bond.
At one point, you hear this shot being fired.
Ultimately, it was classified as an accidental shooting.
Murder in the Family. Available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and wherever podcasts are available.
All right. Well, an action-packed show planned for you guys today. We talk, do some video question and answering.
Hot slider talk. We seem to have two calls with sliders involved, so that's exciting. Some electrical business.
Yeah, some drainage, some patio stuff. We'll get into that. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John. Oh, we love Tommy John. Loungewear, the best. I'm wearing it right now. Underwear, the best. Socks are great. Undershirts are great. Everything that Tommy John does is top shelf. And you're going to clean out your underwear drawer for a little spring cleaning. Replace it with Tommy John proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing you've ever worn. No wedgie guarantee, no visible panty lines for the ladies. Quick draw fly for the fellas. And they got 20% off site-wide if you want to get some. Again, check out the loungewear, man. If you're putzing around the house, be comfortable in Tommy John. Stuff is just the best. You won't go back to whatever you're wearing, like that sweatshirt or that hoodie you're wearing now. Fah, you
Who
will hate it.
It.
No, not you. Yeah, you got Tommy John, right, Matt?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house. Ace on the house. Ace on the house.
Hey, get it on. Sorry, I'm looking at my screen here. Got to get it on. There we go. No choice but to get on. Your mandate, you get it on.
Well, you get it on however you get it on.
However you get it on. Thanks for tuning in to Ace on the House. Stromer's over there.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Over here. What's going on your home front, Stromer? Well, are you working on stuff?
I have the neighbor who I've had the fence conflict with, and he is not adhering to any of the principles of this quarantine, and he's got like 10 guys working next door, and it's what do I do? Do I call the Department of Building
no,
and Safety?
Come on, or do I never?
Or do I have those guys sneezing and coughing over my property line as I'm out trying to do my stupid ass irrigation? What do I do?
Live and let live. I don't
really
hassle anybody. No, don't be a snitch. Don't be a puss.
You don't want me to do that.
No, I don't. I see. There's an interesting mindset, which is when I was in Santa Monica the other day and I was driving past a buddy of mine's house and I had my daughter and he's fond of her and we like him and his wife and his kids and stuff. And I said, hey, we're in the neighborhood. How about I stop by? And he's like, yeah, we can't do that. And I'm like, why not? He goes, because we're socially distancing. And I'm like, yeah, but what's different between today and 2 days ago? Like, what's different? I know the decree came down from the governor. You can't stop at your friend's house. But what has changed for us? You know what I mean? Like, what? My daughter's my daughter. I'm me. I'm fine. You're you. Like, what? I know somebody made this thing and said this thing, but what has really changed from Friday to Sunday?
Well, here's how my son solved it. The great Dusty, he had his girlfriend, Sophia, come over and sit in the driveway 6 to 10 feet away from her. And
right.
I tell you, I looked out the window and boy, could I feel the heat.
It
was like watching Romeo and Juliet all over again in my stupid driveway in Northridge. But man, the heat was there.
And also, How random is 6 feet? You think any of these fucksticks know anything? Six feet. Like, nobody. A sneeze won't travel 6 feet. Like, how do you know it's not 6'6"? How do you know it's not 8 feet?
It might even be 11.
4 feet.
Yeah, I know it.
We don't know.
So what'd you do? Did you not go to the friends?
I called him a pussy, basically, and moved on. Like, he couldn't handle it. I don't know. I'm okay. Like, listen, I've driven through 13,000 red turn arrows in this city, 13,000 over the course of 20 years. Every single red turn arrow, I drive through every single one of them. And every single time I do it, whoever's in the car with me goes, what are you doing? I go, fuck, what am I doing? I'm living my fucking life. And they go, yeah, but it's illegal that whatever. And I go, yeah, this is a random rule made by a retarded person that I'm not adhering to.
Right. But on the other hand, drive through the red arrow, and I'm, in fact, at the camera ticket place. There are only seven of them left, and of course, I'm always the one getting those tickets, and I see the lights flash.
I have never gotten a ticket in 20 plus years of going through red arrows. And this
really
time. Never.
And you've never gone. How about the bus lane thing? I've done that where I hear the shutters going off.
Here's the deal for anyone who's thinking about breaking the law.
Yeah.
If you want to drive in the diamond lane and the carpool lane and all the freeways backed up and the carpool lane's always open and you want to go solo through that carpool lane.
Yeah.
Guess who understands that you have a desire to drive in that lane? The popo. The California Highway Patrol, they understand how alluring it is to have an open lane next to your gridlocked lane and how nice it would be for you just to slide into that open lane alone and drive. They understand that very well. And people do it often. Thus, you will see cops busting people doing that all the time.
So don't do that.
Don't do that. If you live anywhere and there's a hill, like a long downhill, do not speed going down the hill. The cops are at the bottom of the hill with the fucking radar guns.
Right.
Now, if you'd like to speed going up the hill, because no cops hide out and give you chicken shit tickets on the upside of the hill. Okay, they get you on the downside of the hill because they know what you're doing. There is a by my shop. There's a four-way stop sign between my shop and Home Depot. Everyone who's worked for me has gotten some form of ticket for rolling through the four-way stop sign.
Yeah.
Why?
I actually got hit going through one of those.
Because cops understand that is a great place to write a ticket.
Gotcha.
Where cops do not hang out is at intersections with red turn arrows because I'm the only person who drives through them.
Well, then I'm going to start doing it too. You know why?
Yeah. Why?
Because you're a winner. You'd be a driving winner.
You'd be a sucker not to. Everyone listening, you guys are all sheep and suckers if you don't go through
this.
So
you need, in your next book, after this next one comes out, you need to have some rules that can be broken that you instruct society is a thing to do, and with a guide of different areas of interest to do that.
Well, they're rules like no littering. Good. No littering. Don't throw garbage on the street. I've never littered in my life. I don't.
You know why I'd never littered? Because of the Native American man's tear. That's from the 1970s commercial.
Right. But here's the deal. I don't need a law to tell me not to litter. I'll never litter. I don't need a law. There is a law, but I don't need that. I don't need that law. But I also don't need a law telling me when I can turn left. And that's the whole thing. I ignore both laws. I don't litter because you shouldn't litter. I do drive through the red turn arrows because I'm going somewhere. And this is a fucking waste of time. So what I'm saying is you don't need the law. You got your own fucking law in your brain. It's called being a moral, decent person, but it's a two-way street.
Yeah, but where did you learn the morality?
I don't think I learned it.
I don't think people know how to do that unless they find it through either religion or some societal teaching tool. How did you learn yours? You didn't have, you claim that your mom and dad were basically non-existent. Who the fuck taught you how to be this moral?
Here's what I think. I think if you separate yourself from the action or the act, then you won't engage in it, or you will engage in it. Meaning, if you go, I'm done with my In-N-Out burger, I want to throw the wrappers out the window of the car, and you say, well, that's what you want to do, but how would you feel if the car in front of you was doing that and it wasn't you? And you go, well, I wouldn't like that. I mean, I wouldn't like everyone throwing In-N-Out burger wrappers. I don't want that in my city, but right. I don't want to put the smelly bag on my passenger seat until I get home. Well, if the answer is you don't want other people to do it, then you can't do it. That's it. Yeah. Pure and simple. Good. It's pure golden rule. Whatever your neighbor's doing, if you wouldn't want that to be done to you, then you can't do it to them. That's it. It's just pure and simple.
Sounds to me like someone was influenced by Judeo-Christian.
Remove yourself from the equation. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
So don't
snitch on my fat, hairy neighbor.
Unless he's doing something that's egregious.
All right.
What's he doing? He's got guys back there.
We had that lot line dispute. I told you he dug the trench. He assumed I was going to be okay with him putting half the foundation on my side, half the foundation on his side. I went to Department of Building and Safety. They said, do the L foundation, meaning that you dig your own 3 foot on your side of the property and make that wall be on the L going up. So it's not on my lot line. I said, please do that. Then he threw his arms around. He was hairy and mad and sweaty.
Love the armos. I'll tell
Wait, how did you know that? I didn't tell you that.
There was some hot kebab talk in prior episodes.
You're right.
And also, you got to think he's paying those dudes that are working.
Like, yes, he is.
Guys don't have jobs during this coronavirus. Stay at home and shelter. All right. Yes. So, got questions, Matt?
Yes, we do. And again, please send us your email and video questions, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. Go to aceontheroof.com to see the videos. Here's our first video question. Comes to us from Chris.
Hey, get it on, guys. Chris from Encinitas here. I am partitioning off 2 bedrooms on my first floor. So far, I've installed a custom accordion partition. Mm-hmm. And a hallway door, and this is going to be a granny flat type of situation. About 500 square feet, 2 rooms, bathroom, and hallway, and a big walk-in closet. Now I need to replace a 4x6 window with a sliding door so the tenant has a private entrance. This is from the outside.
Ooh,
should I try this myself? Contract it out? Combo with both? I'm not sure what to do here. Help me out.
Boy, that's an easy window to put in too. What do you think, Ace?
Well, he wants to put a sliding door in where the window is.
Yeah.
The thing about a window is a window is going to have a header above it. And as long as you don't increase the size of the door, the width of the opening, then the header will do. But if you want to get further wider than the existing opening, then the existing header is not going to do. And if you're going to swap out the header, now we're getting into more work, more work, you know. Now the problem with the opening as I see it, it looked to be about 4 feet wide. He said it was 4x6 or something.
He's going to need 6 for a slider, right? At least.
Yeah. I don't know any sliders that have 2 foot sliders.
That's also too low for a slider. It looks like it's not high enough header-wise.
Yeah, it does look like there's a height issue in there too, although I'm not sure why they just didn't do it at 6'8 or whatever the standard thing is. I'm trying to think. He said the window was 4x6, didn't he? But then what is that? Is it 6 foot high? If it's 6 foot high, it looks like it's 2 foot off the ground.
Yeah.
And that would be like 8 foot. What's going on visually?
Anyway. Wait, go back into the room. Let me see how high it is from the ceiling.
And a big walk-in closet.
Oh, because you got an 8-foot ceiling.
Right.
A 4x6 window with a sliding door so the tenant has a private entrance. This is from the outside.
Should I
try this myself?
It could be 6'8".
Yeah, it could be 6'8". Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's say we got the height. Now let's say we got the width. Well, we don't have the width. So, okay. So here's the deal. You got 4 foot worth of width or whatever you have. You're not going to find a sliding door that's going to work that way. You could put a door with a single light in it and two like side lights next to it or something if you wanted.
That's easier.
That's easier. And then that just becomes a door.
And then you're framing in from the existing opening width-wise to create the size for the door rather than having to extend the header to be at least 6 foot wide. Then you got to reframe everything and support and brace the corner of the house when you pull out the old header to put in the new header, right? So it's a lot more engineering and experience in framing that you'll have to know.
Right. And there's also a stucco component of this too, which is if you can kind of nail it, you can just take a carborundum blade
I love it when you use carborundum. In conversation.
Carborundum is for metal. I screwed the pooch. Go ahead and make it a diamond blade or a masonry blade and just drop it straight down. Like go straight down, bust out the stucco that's at the bottom. And if you can make the opening, if you can work it out so the opening's the same size as the whatever, you won't have to do a whole bunch of stucco patch.
That's right.
Get on it.
That's a good call, Ace. Just do a single light door. Then you're not having to get into reframing everything.
Yeah, well, also, if it's an entry door, like if you're going, hey, this is the door to the guest suite, you do want a 36-inch single light, just meaning single piece of glass in the middle. Put a deadbolt on it, entry, exit. You don't want a slider to be the entry, exit.
Good point. And you could also, if you want more light, frame another window 3-4 feet from that door to the right. You know what I mean? So that you've got an extra light source if you want it to make like a hovel.
What I would do is you might have to order it custom. You could order a 36-inch exterior single light door and then two side lights next to it. They could be 8 inches or 6 inches or whatever. They could be thin, but two floor to ceiling side lights next to it. So it was symmetrical.
Right.
Figure out what the swing is, what direction, swing in, swing out, whatever. Remember, if you put the hinge pins on the outside, you need NRP hinges, non-removable pins.
Right.
So someone can't just pop the pins and pull the door off. Right.
Right.
Figure all that shit out and do it that way.
Yeah.
Forget about the slider. How's the slider work for security? How do you lock it, you know, when you're on the outside? Like, how do you come in at night and unlock it?
And those locks always break down over time.
That's a disaster.
Yeah.
All right. Let me see. What else do we, what do I got? Tommy John here, Matt?
That's the one.
I'll hit that. And then you load up our next vid question. Tommy John, everyone, do you dread the spring cleaning? I do. That's why I don't do it. I don't need to. I got Tommy John, man. Tommy John underwear, man, just pull out all your old crappy underwear and fill that drawer with Tommy John. Sweet, overflowing Tommy John. Loungewear is perfect. I think they have 20% off everything on their website right now. I'm wearing the loungewear t-shirt.
Long sleeve
right now. I got the Tommy John tee underneath the loungewear, and I'm wearing the Tommy John underwear as well. Stuff's great. Proprietary fabrics perform like nothing you've ever seen before. These guys are the best, and they have a guarantee. If you do not love your first pair of Tommy John's, they will refund it, but you're going to love it. I'm going to call you a liar. It's the best. It's Tommy John, right, Matt?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right. What else we got?
So we have another great video question. This is from Jake.
I would like an exterior outlet there.
Slider.
An interior outlet right on the other side of that wall.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that would prevent me from busting out a hole right there, putting a new box back to back to the other one, using the same wiring, and calling it a day? And furthermore, can I avoid doing any plaster work? Could I assume I could cut the plaster neatly enough and use some sort of a... Is there some sort of an exterior outlet box that comes with some sort of a face frame that covers stucco that you can seal? I really want to avoid doing any plaster repair.
So we're showing the outside of a house, inside of a house. It's a little confusing me because the inside looks like it has an outlet right where he wants.
Yeah, it does. He wanted to put one right behind it facing outward.
Oh, I thought as an initial thing, I thought he was talking about putting one in and out, but he's saying there's already one on the inside. Right. How do we do one on the outside?
And you can't go back to back because there's not enough room in the wall. It'll sit proud, but you are gonna have to bust out either drywall or enough stucco to find the source of the wiring within the wall to get to your outside box somehow. So there will be some version of opening one of those two sides up.
And when Stromer says proud, he doesn't mean like an American Indian crying by the side of the road, proud. He means sticking out.
That's correct. That's right.
So you got a 2x4 wall and your box, your single gang box goes into the wall and you put the thing up against it. They're not going to have enough depth. So I get that. So you want to go with your exterior type box. Yes, they have covers. They have those plastic kind of snap covers you'll see on exterior stuff. So they have exterior box with exterior covers. And you also go with the GFI, you know, type outlet in there. So it pops the breaker and you can reset it there if there's any moisture issues.
There's no moisture issues with you. Why, Tommy John?
That's right. Thank you. I did. I am wearing them now. So the, now you got to think, you want to tie off of, or you want to
tap into that
daisy chain that. So you have to go to the side of the box. Now here's the deal. I will guarantee that box that's inside of your house, that outlet, that is against a stud, okay? So if you go to one side of that box, you're going to be on the wrong side of the stud. If you go to the other side of the box, you're going to be in an open bay of the existing box. You feel me, Stromer?
I feel you. And I like that because it's so much easier to repair drywall on the interior if you cut a 12x12 panel out. Save that panel of drywall that you can reattach back on after you've done your electrical connection. Then all you'd have to do is drill through the stucco with a masonry drill bit to get your wiring out to that exterior box. Right? Right. What do you think?
But what he's talking about is just piggybacking off the run wire that's already there.
Right, but you still got to get out into the stucco somehow. So
So here's what I would do if I was doing this. Now, this is probably not up to code, and so this is probably not legal. But, you know, if we were in Mexico or Jamaica or something and I was going to do this, here's how I would do it. I would get my exterior box with the cover on it. I would go to the inside and figure out where the stud was. What is the stud on the right side of the box or the left side of the box? Interior. You can't tell by looking at the outlet. You got to take a little drill bit and punch it through and like figure out where that is, right? Once you find out what side the stud is, like where the stud is, then go to the open bay side of the stud, get away from the interior box a little bit, get the height you want, and take a right angle grinder with a diamond blade on it, and I would just drop in my box. You could do a tiger box. I don't know if they have exterior tiger boxes. You know what a tiger box is?
Yeah, but you gotta be able to make the connection off that existing box and have enough room to get your hand in there to get those connections done, right?
Well, what you got to do is you got to take your box, you got to knock out a slug on the side closest to the other box. Then you have to go to the interior box and knock a slug out there. Then take a piece of VX or Romex or something and like fish it through there. And then do your outlet and then tie it in and the front outlet. But I think you could do all that arthroscopically, like you could do it without opening up the patient. Go in through the urethra is what I'm saying. Like, I think we could do this that way. Now, again, this is electrical. There's a danger factor involved with this. The inside outlet is not like a big draw outlet. Like it's just a hall outlet. You know what I mean? Like don't do this with the outlet on the microwave oven. You know, the one that's behind
the microwave. You mean the circuit? Oven. Yeah.
The circuit or the outlet that's on the circuit, like for the garbage disposal or something. That's a big draw.
Something that draws amps. You don't want to do it there.
Yeah. This is just a outlet in your house, like on in the living room. And also, but by the way, don't fire up. If you're doing the high pressure washer outside, don't plug in the vacuum cleaner on the inside and fire them both up at the same time.
Right.
Sort of what I'm saying. But I think there's a surgical way to drop in that exterior box, fish the BX. Is it BX, Gary, or VX? I know I do this every time. I think it's BX.
You could use Romex. It's fine.
Or Romex and just go through there, use the little connectors. It's surgery, but I think you can do it surgically.
This is a great opportunity for you to understand and know where your panel in your house is and what, you know, have plug in a lamp or something into that outlet now. Have your wife flip the switches on and off to identify what circuit and what plug that is attached to in the box so that you know and label it. And then that's a good opportunity to go through your whole house and understand where all your individual circuits are. So you know, because it's a lot safer when you're working on it, if you can turn off and isolate that particular outlet.
Stromer's right. You don't hear me say that.
What?
Often. Stromer is 100%.
You're softening in that Van Gogh light, aren't you? In your
sorry, buddy. I miss you. What can I say? It's lonely over here.
I know. I know.
BX is the... It's the Romex or the wire that's pre-clad with metal flex. All right, should we do another one?
Hell yeah, Matt? Do this all day.
Let's do it. By the way, Tiger Box, great show on Netflix. Everybody's talking about it.
Just to be clear, a box, an electrical box that is a standard electrical box will mount on the stud and have like stud mounts and things of that nature. A Tiger Box is meant to be just dropped into the drywall in the middle of the bay. And then you turn these ears that come out and it works like a toggle bolt does. So you can mount your box just against the drywall in the middle of a bay. That's what we'd say a Tiger Box would be for.
And I know, because we are all getting a little wistful because of the proximity issues, I did want to let you know that the MILF that I used to spend time with in my college days was referred to as Tiger Box. Anyway,
Tiger Box. I like it. Hey, Gary, is there exterior Tiger Boxes?
I'm not seeing one that really looks like that. There are definitely exterior boxes of different kinds, but I don't see one that you would just drop in, because I did search regular Tiger Box and I'm not seeing a lot that looks similar.
You know, I might even refine this guy's thing, which is take an exterior box, drill a hole in the stucco like 5/8,
right, and get your conduit mount. And get just, your conduit yeah. through it yeah. or whatever yeah.
Just do a surface mount.
I agree.
A surface mount. Do a surface mount with the exterior box.
And then open the drywall side if you need to get your hands in.
Yeah, I think there's a way to do it. If you knock the slug out, and you drill the hole on the outside in the right place, I think you can fish the Romex.
And you'll obviously have to take out the switch or the plug.
Right, the outlet.
Through
right,
your box sure. And then 100%. Feed it through that way, through the urethra.
100%.
Yeah.
And there's screw pickup points on both sides of the outlet, right, Stromer?
Correct.
So you could just go to the next side of the outlet and
yes.
keep going with it, chain it?
Daisy chain, you bet.
All right, there you go. All right, what's next?
Now wait, just so people know that Romex bare in a wall, unless it's stapled to studs, is a no-no. So if it's going to be flopping through there, and there's a chance you could somehow, that the reason they do this is that if you have wire just randomly running in a wall, you drill a drywall screw through and hit it, there's an issue. So in our world, that this saying that this is Mexico and there are no inspectors, you're fine because you know that there's going to be a wire running across that bay.
Right. This is not to code.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Gary or Matt.
No problem. All right, we got an email here from Jeff in Denver. Hey, Ace and Stromer, I just
finished building.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just finished building an attached garage on my house in Denver. The addition of this garage has turned our house into a U shape and has turned the front yard into a small courtyard space. I'd love your guys' design thoughts on how to turn this courtyard into a nice patio. I love the look of flagstone, and I have about 500 square feet of flagstone I could use to make the patio. I'd like to do this project myself, but the flagstones I have are large and 4 inches thick. Some of them must be 100 pounds. It'd be a ball buster of a job, but if I do it right, it'll look great. Do you have any tips for flagstone or alternative suggestions? Lastly, what sort of drainage should I add? There are 3 roofs that will funnel rainwater and snow melt onto this patio. Thanks, guys.
Well, first things first with the drainage, just away from the front door, away from the house, just toward the yard. It looks like he's got a little height on his door threshold, maybe 4-6 inches or something like that. So you're going to have to use all that. I'm not an expert with flagstone.
Let me tell you. So a couple things to your point. If you lay flagstone and it's irregular and they're all not the same thickness, and you're not going to pour a slab and grade that slab away from the front door to your point, then you're going to have to set that in a sand. It's going to be small gravel and then sand, and then you're going to dump that stuff in the sand with a weed barrier underneath all of it. So that's a bit of an issue, and you have to know how to set those irregularly sized stones flat. And then you have to decide, am I going to put grass between the joints? Am I going to just do DG? Am I going to have it come up and be, you know, cement, and I'm going to go ahead and grout it with cement? So those are your 2 options. You either pour a slab and then thin set the stone to the slab and then grout it with cement, or you do weed barrier, gravel, sand, then stone, and then concrete grout with a grout bag over the top of that. Knowing that you're going from the front door threshold down to the front of the house with a 1/4 inch per foot grade so that water does drain. And then if it doesn't drain and goes through the grout joints, it goes to that sand bed and comes out the front of the patio. So those are the specifics of how to do 2 different systems. So you kind of got to decide what you want to do.
I'm thinking about this. The flagstone thing scares me. The snow, the weather you have in Denver, it all kind of scares me. Like and I've been there and done that enough to know that you want to get real drainage heading away from that house. And
right.
I know this guy's like a do-it-yourselfer, and I like where his head's at. I really would either have a professional or concrete finisher or whatever, somebody, I would pour a slab and I would get that grade just going away from the house.
All 3 sides.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, just have it all tilt up and go away. Right.
Right.
Or go in and away, you know, in on the sides, away in the whatever. But
correct.
Really get someone who knows what they're doing. It'll the best money you ever spent. Even maybe putting in an area drain or a French drain or something at the bottom where it all spills into, right?
Right.
So I would do that.
Well, because, you know, yeah, because being in Denver, you're going to get snow and freeze thaw, and you will get a ton of water that's not detected just watching rain. It's going to show up.
The irregular thickness and sizes of the flagstone, it's not, it's going to puddle up. It's not, you're going to wish you did it this way. I would say get a couple of guys who do driveways, who do patios, like those guys. And by the way, they knock this shit out in 10 minutes. Like this is
be done in two, that'd be done in 2.5 days.
Right, right. It'll be relatively inexpensive. Get those guys, you know, drainage, really focus on drainage. And then we can talk about a finish, a stamping, or a dyeing of the concrete, or painting of the concrete, or, you know, carving in diamonds.
Or then, if this guy's got flagstone that's all milled the same thickness, he can go ahead and affix that to the flagstone or to the concrete slab.
No, he can't. I don't like it.
You don't think he can do it? All right.
It's not the same thickness is his problem.
Yeah.
I said, get away from the flagstone.
Yeah.
Look at colored concrete. I've done colored concrete. I've done concrete that was done in a terracotta color where we cut big 2x2 foot lines into it and then grouted the lines, and it ends up looking like big terracotta tiles.
Oh, that's nice. Wow.
So go online, find some design, find colored concrete, find whatever, figure it out. And do it that way, but don't fuck around with the flagstone and the thing. I just worry about puddles. You're not going to walk out of your house and step in a puddle walking into the house.
And he said he had tree roots in there, which are going to just undermine everything you do unless, you know, it's done right with the slab and rebar and that whole thing. That's the only way to prevent that from occurring.
Agreed. All right. Let's do another one, Matt.
You got it. We got an email question here. There's no pictures for this one. Comes to us from Casey Peters. Hey, guys, I bought my first house last year. Winner. And the second floor gets really hot in the summertime. I want to install an attic fan, but my DIY skills only go so far, and I'm afraid to cut into the brand new roof. It's a basic A-frame attic, so can I cut high up into the side of the house instead? Will it be as effective if it's not in the center of the house? I've also considered building a box for the fan, mounting it to the ceiling joists, and running ducting to the two existing two roof vents in place for the fart fans. Will either of these methods be effective? Thanks for your guys' help.
Huh. He wants to get the attic vented out. He's talking about things that are a little more involved. I don't know. I don't feel like the attic vent is that incredibly tall an order for even guys that are a little bit lighter in the DIY skills. It's not a layup, but it's a 6 foot jump shot. It's kind of pretty makeable. Right.
Right.
I don't know about all the draining, like all the channeling and stuff, so to speak, you know.
And is he using it just to vent out the attic, or is he coming from a room to vent out?
What he said? I think he wants to put it in the wall. Read it again. Would you, Matt, please?
Yeah, let's see here. It's a basic A-frame attic, so can I cut high up into the side of the house instead? Will it be as effective if it's not in the center of the house? The second floor gets really hot in the summertime.
He must mean a whole house fan, right?
I think.
Yeah, he's saying I want to install an attic fan is what he
said. So we're confused because there's an attic fan that just vents the attic into one of the grates out of the side of the roof.
Right, right.
I think he means the whole house. Yeah. Go ahead, Adam. Talk to that.
Whole house fans are goddamn excellent. I love them. And you do them in conjunction with with vent with ceiling vent fans, like turbine fans and things like that. Here's what I'm gonna say. You know, Stromer.
Yeah.
We don't do a lot of this because it flies in the face of what we're doing here. But much like the last question, I would look into farming this out. There are companies that just do these systems, right?
Right.
They know the dynamics. They know the math. They know the volume. They know the CFM and blah, blah, blah. And they have ones as well that the thing about a whole house fan is it can be loud. Like you fire that thing up and it's like, ooh, right. Middle of your ceiling.
These big vents, almost like air wing aircraft vents, open up when it sucks everything in. And
the louvers are electronic. They right. open up. And here's the problem. Some of these guys, a lot of these things, they put the fan right above the louvers. But other ones channel it and put the fan where the roof rafters are and right. give you the channel so you don't hear it coming right through the ceiling.
Right.
Feel yeah. me, Stromer?
Yeah. So, I mean, generally the way that they're installed are between joist bays in the ceiling and there's an escutcheon that goes over the drywall and kind of looks nice and clean, but it's to Adam's point, it's how do you effectively vent it either from the unit or once it's in the attic. So that I think that's what you need to consider, which
you're
way
gonna you're going to take the hot air. You're going to have, he said it was a two-story house that the second yeah. story got hot.
Right.
So what you're going to do is you're going to take this hot air. It's coming from the first floor. It's going up into the second floor. It's sitting up in the second floor. And this is a real big deal. If anyone's lived in a two-story house that faces the west or whatever, it is fucking hot up there. You're going to move that hot air up into the attic. But once it gets in the attic, you got to kick it out of the attic again.
Right.
So when you get this thing going, you'll put it in the ceiling upstairs, it'll suck it out, and it'll have a tube that goes up like a flex tube into a roof vent and kick Correct. It outside of the house.
Right.
And then when it's hot during the summer, you go downstairs, you slide open the kitchen window with the screen on it, and you fire it up upstairs, and you'll feel the cold air or the cooler air just coming right through that window.
Like I guess the question is, so do you vent with the whole house fan into the attic and then have a secondary fan at the vent on the exterior wall of the house sucking that out? Or to your point, is it vent directly from the fan out to the vent on the side of the house?
I think
it's tied with AC vent coil onto the roof, you know, framing, and it goes all the way out. I don't know which system they're going to
use. I think the system is, there's a number of companies that do this now. They're clean and they're fast. Makes a huge difference. Let them handle it. Vent goes in the ceiling of the upstairs ceiling. Fan is on the roof rafters, so you don't have to hear it.
Right.
And louvered. All right. Take care of Guy.
Well, question. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work because obviously there's chores involved. There's always upkeep. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Why not just go to geico.com? Get a quote. See how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Insurance is always necessary. Bundle it in one place, Geico.
All right. Let's see. You can go to Chassis, my website, chassy.com, and get all those racing movies and stuff we curate, not just stuff we've done. And
yeah, you've expanded now to all sorts of entertainment. It's a really amazing space to look at some really great entertainment while we're all sitting at home. Check it out, man.
Stromer, and pre-order my book. I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. That's available for pre-order now. Go to Amazon.
And don't forget No Safe Spaces, which is something everybody needs to see. Come on, man.
Go to nosafespaces.com. Stromer, you're not watching your son play basketball anymore.
No,
so you
but I am assisting with some training in the driveway. I put a broom up and he has to jump over what would ostensibly be a 7-foot Nigerian man, but it's just me holding a broom.
How's his dunking?
He's killing, man. He's doing great.
Does he have a specialty dunk?
He's able now to do sort of a 360 coming off a two. He's just getting comfortable coming off a 1 foot, which is going to change the game. But, you know, it's a hard thing when you haven't done 1 foot dunking, and that's where he's working on now, going to the one.
Well, I love it, and we'll finally have someone in the Stromer family to root for. Yeah. And on that note, this is Adam Kroll for Eric Stromer.
Yes, sir. Man,
mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.